studying some stories in our Tuesday ESL class from the book of Genesis. And it's been very interesting. We taught them, first of all, the story of Adam and Eve and the fall. And the story of Adam and Eve and the fall, as you know, is very simple. That they were told, Adam and Eve, that they were not to take the fruit of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And they reached out and they took that fruit. And that was a disobedient act. It was a very sinful act. But when you explain to people who don't know much about the Bible, they sometimes say, well, you know, just because you take a piece of fruit, it really isn't that bad. Most people have taken a piece of fruit that didn't belong to them. Now, when I was a teenager, at about this time of year, I would have been 12 years old actually, I realized that I could ride down the back lane a block away from where I lived, and as I was going down the lane, if I reached up, I could get an apple from somebody's tree. Can't remember whose it was. But I could take that apple and never even have to slow down my bicycle. It was just that easy. Just ride right down, take the apple. Before I got to the corner, I was already eating the apple and enjoying it. And in retrospect, I guess it was sin. I shouldn't have done it. But it was a good apple, and I enjoyed it. Then there's another story that comes next in the Bible. It's the story of Cain and Abel. Do you remember the story that when they reached a certain age of maturity, and we don't know how old that was, Cain rose up in the field one day and killed his brother Abel. Now that's pretty bad. And if one sin is not really a really bad sin, then the other sin is a really bad sin. And so I said, now how can I explain to these people how that sin leads from something very simple to something very, very bad? And so my thoughts went to Romans chapter 1. And I want to follow with you this morning the explanation of the Lord as he traces what happens to a heart that knows about God and goes down, 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 down. A person's heart is a very deceitful thing, the Bible tells us. And the heart learns to go in one direction or another, and it can go from being a not-so-bad heart to being a very, very bad heart. And the story that I'm reminded of this morning is the story of Pietro Bandinelli. And some of you know the story of Pietro Bandinelli, and others don't. I've told it before. But there was a man by the name of Leonardo da Vinci who wanted to paint a picture. He wanted to paint one of the most famous pictures that the world has ever known. It is the picture of the Lord's Supper. And of course, he needed some models. There were 13 men at the Lord's Supper. He wanted a model. And he painted, and he got one model after another. And one of the first models he got was a fellow by the name of Pietro Bandinelli. And he said, I'm painting a picture. Pietro might not have known, but he was the one that Leonardo da Vinci chose to be the Lord Jesus. He was a young man. He was a handsome man. And he had all the appropriate facial features. And Leonardo painted him. And he finished the painting with one exception. He couldn't find anybody to be Judas. And so he hunted and hunted, and finally he found a man. And he said to him, listen, I would like to paint you. I'm painting a picture. Would you please sit for me? And the man agreed to do so. And as they were painting the picture, or when it was over, I'm not sure the precise time, but one said to the other, you know, I've seen you before. And the man who was being painted as Judas said, yes, I am Pietro Bandinelli. The same man in that picture. One is Jesus and the other is Judas. What happened to the heart of that man? What happens to the heart of men today? What happens to a society today? Like our society, which has chosen to reject God. That's our society. That's the Canadian society. And when asked about the Canadian society, Jean Chrétien, a few years after he was dismissed from power, said that the basic character of our Canadian society is lax morals, abortion, homosexuality. That is the essence of our Canadian society. Those aren't the precise words of Jean Chrétien, but that's what he said. What, how do you go from here down to here? What happens when you reject God? And Romans chapter 1 gives us that answer. We're going to try to go over it this morning slowly. I'm going to read it to you, and then we're going to go over it slowly to see if we can see what happens as we go in departure from God. What happens to the heart? Follow the heart in these verses. Verse 16 says, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone who believes, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all unrighteousness and ungodliness and unrighteousness of man, who hold the truth in unrighteousness, because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God has showed it unto them. For the invisible things of him, of God, from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools, and changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like unto corruptible man, and to birds, and to four-footed beasts, and to creeping things. Wherefore, God also gave them up to uncleanness through the lusts of their own hearts, to dishonor their own bodies between themselves, who changed the truth of God into a lie, and worshipped and served the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. For this cause, God gave them up to vile affections, for even their women did change the natural use into that which is against nature. And likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust one toward another, men with men, working that which is unseemly, and receiving in themselves that recompense of their reward which was meet. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient, being filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity, whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, despiteful, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, without understanding, covenant breakers, without natural affections, implacable, unmerciful, who knowing the judgment of God, that they which commit such things are worthy of death, not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them. Lord, we pray that you'll just help us as we seek to understand these distressing texts, that we might understand your ways and that we might turn to our God for a new heart. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Well, the apostle says, I'm excited about the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ because it's the power of God to deliver us from the sin that is in the world. He says in verse 17, he says, or verse 18, the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness. And what we see in the verses that we've read is the outpouring of the wrath of God. But what we see in the rest of the book of Romans is the presentation of the righteousness of God. So the apostle says, the wrath of God has been revealed, but what I want to show you in the book of Romans is the righteousness of God. But he does explain the wrath of God, and he explains the wrath of God as the rejection of the heart of man, the discipline upon the heart of man, the punishment for the heart of man when they turn against the wonderful gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. So let's go down this list together, and we'll see if we can follow the verses as they go. Verse 18, for the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness. What happens? Here's people who know about God, and they resist. That's the word we're going to use here. They resist, or they suppress the truth of God that they have in their knowledge. God gives us wonderful knowledge. Adam and Eve had good knowledge, but Cain in particular resisted that knowledge in one way or another. We don't know all the details, but our society has determined to resist the truth of God, and individuals in our society also resist the truth of God. You will often find someone who, when he was young, was knowledgeable about the things of God, quite possibly raised in a Christian home, understanding the truths of God, but resisted it. When that person gets old, it's amazing how far he has drifted away from the truth of God. So, there's a great problem associated with resisting the truth of God. One of the things that I like about people like you who come to church is that you don't come to resist the truth of God. You come to respond to the truth of God. At least that's what our hope and prayer is. It would be a terrible thing to hear the truth of God and to resist the truth of God, but a wonderful thing to respond to the truth of God. Well, what happens to these people in verse 18 who hold the truth in unrighteousness, who resist it? And verse 19 says, because that which may be known of God is manifest in them or to them, for God has shown it unto them. In other words, God went out of his way to show them his truth. For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse, or so that they might be without excuse. What happens? And in general, what happens is that because of the great world in which we live, the truths about God are clearly seen. You look at all of the wonderful creation of the Lord, and you end up saying, who made this? did it happen? The natural question of every child is, who put the tulip there? Who made the star? And the tragedy is that there are those who resist that. And God says, listen, I've shown it to you. It's there. Everybody can see it. And the last line of verse 20, is it the last line? Maybe the second last line, says, so that they are without excuse, or so that they might be without excuse. In other words, what God does is, God comes into every heart and every life, and he says, listen, on judgment day, no one is going to be able to say there is no God, because God shows it in a general sense to everyone, but in a particular sense, he shows it so that they might be without excuse. I think that probably what is going to happen on Judgment Day, the Lord is going to say something like this. You said you didn't believe me. Didn't you open your eyes and look at the whole world around in order to know who I was? And then I think he will go on and say, and if you think you've got to make an excuse, I just want you to remember this. I went out of my way specifically on this occasion in your life to show you what happened, to show you that there's a God. And I did that in order that there might not be any excuse in your life. I marvel at the people who call themselves atheists. Most of them are atheists because they know somebody else who's an atheist. They're not atheists because their own witness, because the witness of their own heart. God says, I am going to make sure, I'm God, I'm going to make sure that on Judgment Day, nobody will have an excuse. And if there's anybody who thinks he has, the Lord will draw to his attention that day in his life when God made it abundantly clear to him that there was a God. So, the verse 21 then goes on, and it says this. It says that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. What happens? Number one, there is a resistance to God. And when that resistance comes in, various things follow. Number one, they choose not to glorify him as God. If in fact there is a God, then he must get glory. Is that right? He's God. We give glory to athletes. We give glory and position to politicians. We give glory to many. But the Lord says, if you don't give glory to me, then you're making a huge mistake. And he says, if you resist God, the next thing down the line, not the end of the line, but the next thing down the line is you won't give him glory. You won't give him the glory that he should have. And that is the tragedy in Canada today. We pretend he doesn't exist. We give glory in all manner of other directions. We just pretend that God doesn't exist. That's a terrible sin. And the next one is that they are not thankful. And you go from not giving him glory to not giving him thanks. But they will be thankful to all manner of others. And after that, the line says, they became vain in their imaginations or their reasonings or their thinkings. Their thinking becomes futile, vain, unproductive. If in fact you depart from truth, the only thing else to go to is error, isn't it? It's all very simple logic. If you don't follow the truth, you do follow the error. And therefore your thinking is not logical. your thinking is not right, because to give God glory and to be thankful to Him is right. When you don't do that, then the only other thing will end up being counterproductive, vain, and foolish, and dark. So what's the progression? It's resisting, and then for simplicity's sake, you go to resisting God, to being unthankful toward God, to being foolish and darkened in your heart. You have a resistant heart, and then an unthankful heart, and then a foolish heart, and then a darkened heart. What a tragedy. We would like an enlightened heart, wouldn't we? We would like a pure heart. But in resisting God, the consequences flowing just one step down at a time. Go all the way down to a darkened heart. Let's keep reading now. Verse 22, professing themselves to be wise, they became fools and changed the glory of the uncorruptible God to an image like to corruptible man and to birds and to four-footed beasts and to creeping things. What happened after the darkened heart? The answer is they ended up with an idolatrous heart. They started worshiping, respecting, honoring, idolizing that which is wrong. Their idolatry started with the idolatry of man, and then to birds, and then to four-footed beasts, and then to creeping things. This is what is happening in the world today. We don't see idolatry proliferating at its end level of four-footed beasts and creeping things, but certainly we are idolizing man in the world today. So, have you got the progression then? It's a resistant heart, an unthankful heart, a foolish and darkened heart, and an idolatrous heart. What comes after that? Verse 24. Wherefore, God gave them up to uncleanness through the lusts of their own hearts, to dishonor their own bodies between themselves. And they have gone now to a lustful heart. That'd be a terrible thing, wouldn't it? What do you do if your heart longs to go the wrong way? I love that which is wrong. What an awful thing that would be. Surely you want to love what is right, don't you? But you see, if you resist the Lord and you're not thankful, and if people turn away in foolishness and have a darkened heart, an idolatrous heart, they will end up with a heart that loves what is wrong. What a tragedy. The book of Proverbs tells us that we must keep our heart. My son, keep thine heart, for out of it are the issues of life. But these people didn't keep their heart. They resisted the truth of God. And they took the steps down. The steps came down automatically. They didn't all willfully go to the next step. One leads to the other, unless you turn around and start going back. You're going downstairs, you're just going to take the next step down. And the Lord, it's interesting, this is all the study of the wrath of God. God's wrath is to let people go down. What an awful thing. And so here are these people, and they now have become victimized by a lustful heart. That's our tragic city of Vancouver today. Let's keep reading. Verse 25 says, they changed the truth of God into a lie. They worshipped and served the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. And verse 26 says, for this cause God gave them up to vile affections. And as I We live in a society which knows a lot about addiction. We see alcohol addiction all around. More and more, we're seeing drug addiction. What do you do when a man is addicted to drugs? It's a neighbor of a friend of mine who went down into his basement about 5 o'clock in the morning, 2 or 3 weeks ago. He saw a very slender man, about 30 years old, in his basement with a butcher knife. The man had two young children, and a wife upstairs. And he said, "I wonder what I should do." He says, "If I confront this man, he is addicted to drugs. What can I do? I'm not dealing with a rational man. I'm dealing with an addicted man." A professor of mine years ago used to say that he would far rather fight a mad dog than a deranged man, an addicted man. Because you know what a mad dog would do, but you don't know what a man would do. He opened the door and let the man go. Man went down to the end of the property, stole his truck, and drove off. But he was happy to do that because if he hadn't, the man might have gone upstairs and killed his children. What a terrible thing is addiction. This verse says, "For this cause God gave them up to vile affliction." So, have we got the sequence now? The resistant heart, the unthankful heart, the foolish and darkened heart, the immoral heart, the lustful heart, and the addicted heart. And these addictions carry on mainly in the area described below. We won't read, but it's the area of homosexuality. That's what's happening in Canada today, in Vancouver today. We are celebrating downtown homosexuality. What will happen to Vancouver? And that's the next step. Because you get to verse 28, and it says, "And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient." And that phrase, the reprobate mind, really relates to an incapacitated heart. A heart that is no longer able to respond to reason. It's the inability to think right which lies behind these words. So you've got the package now. It's a resistant heart, leads to an unthankful heart, leads to a foolish and darkened heart, leads to an an idolatrous heart, leads to a lustful heart, leads to an addicted heart, and now leads to an incapacitated heart. The inability to respond properly. And then following that comes the long list of all of these sins, and this list is simply a list of continually evil heart. Evil of all description, having broken out as a consequence of this, and that is what lies ahead for Vancouver and Canada at the present time. That's what lies ahead for people who resist the Lord. That's our hearts. If we refuse to trust the Lord, we would end up there. You take Mr. So-and-so, wherever you find him, and you say, "Did you ever know anything about God?" "Yes, you did. When I was at UBC, I used to meet people who told me that they went to Sunday school until they were in grade 3. Well, they knew something about God. But by the time they got to university, they were in really, really bad shape. What happened? They resisted the truth of God. And down and down and down they went. Until you get this continuously evil heart.
Because they're calling of a powerful
verse 32 says, "Who knowing the judgment of God, that they which commit such things are worthy of death, not only do the understand God. They understand the rightful wrath of God against sin. But they now have a defiant heart. What happened between the sin of Eve and Cain when he killed Abel? Well, they just, Cain went down, just one step at a time. He went down. And he might not have gone through all of these steps, but he went down these steps. And he ended up with a defiant heart. And when the Lord said to him, now, Cain, there's a sin offering for you at the door. Go and get it. He said, I'm not going to go and get it. I'll go and kill Abel, but I'm not going to go to get the sin offering to be righteous. He had that defiant heart. Can I give you that downward progression again? I tried to repeat it often enough so that you'll sort of follow it with me. But it starts with a resistant heart, doesn't it? And then from a resistant heart, it goes to an unthankful heart. And then to a foolish, darkened heart. And then to an immoral heart. Sorry, an idolatrous heart. And then to a lustful heart. And then to an addictive heart. And then to an incapacitated heart. And then to a continuously evil heart, and then to a defiant heart. Is that the end of the story? No, hallelujah, that's the end of Romans chapter 1. Okay, what are the next 15 chapters all about? They're about the righteousness of God. That's the presentation of the wrath of God. But the rest of the book is all about the righteousness of God. And that's what we preach most of the time. It's a wonderful story. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. Romans chapter 10 and verse 9. We better turn to that. Romans chapter 10 and verse 9. And it simply says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. There is an opportunity for all of us to reach out and to receive the Lord Jesus Christ into our hearts. And what do we get when we do that? Over to Psalm chapter 51. David grasped these truths years ago. And Psalm 51, verse 10 and 11. We'll give you a moment to find them and then we'll read them together. Fabulous verses. This is what David says, Psalm 51, 10. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew, give me a new right spirit within me. Cast me not away in thy presence. Take not thy Holy Spirit from me. He said, for you are able to give me a new heart. The natural progression is down, 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 down. The Lord Jesus Christ says, I came into the world to save sinners, and he wants to give us this new heart. Why then the great discussion about the downward progression? Just in order to prove to us how sinful sin is, how insidious this disease of sin that begins to grow, and it grows greater and greater and greater. It is like the most incurable cancer, isn't it? And it just takes over more and more and more. It grows voraciously. Sin grows voraciously in the heart. And the Lord says, I'll give you a new heart. We say hallelujah. Paul says, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, Romans 1:16. It's the power of God unto salvation to everyone who believes. Oh, we rejoice in that. But the downward progression is from Eve taking a piece of fruit to her son killing his brother. What a downward fall. How desperately do we need the Savior? Lord, we want to thank you for the truths of God. These are sobering truths, Lord, but we thank thee that there is a logical progression there. We can see it going just one step at a time. Not hard to go from bad to just a little bit worse, and just a little bit worse. Doesn't all happen in a day, any more than drug addiction happens in an evening, or all these other addictions of life. They don't just happen immediately. It takes time to go from a life that's free to a life that is enslaved. And we remember that our blessed Savior says, if any man sin, he becomes the slave of sin. And we just don't see it immediately. It's usually takes place so slowly that people don't really realize what's happening. But Lord, we know that it does happen. We see it all around us. And many of us can look at parts of our own lives and say, Lord, it all started so simply, but it became a big problem. So Lord, may we turn to the Lord. We thank you for the promise that you will create in us a clean heart. And each of us would turn and pray David's prayer this morning. Create in me a clean heart, God, and renew a right spirit within me, we pray. And we ask it in Jesus' name.